Price Shopper Secrets, Module 2, Exploring, Finding the Caller's Hot Buttons and Providing Benefits. In the previous module, called The Foundation, we talked about personal qualities such as being initially friendly, devoting time to the call, being prepared, and having a proper attitude. I explained the three pillars to help you understand where you and your staff are with answering Price Shopper calls: your belief, your intent, your objective, and how each of these pillars greatly affect the outcome of the Price Shopper call. I went on to discuss with you the eight steps to be aware of when talking with a Price Shopper. And I hope each of you will work with these eight steps and incorporate them in your next price call. Quickly to review, they are: number one, the caller wants help. Hey, listen, it's not such a bad thing that they're calling you. They're calling you because of some reason where they got your phone number. Number two, as the answerer, have a clear purpose in mind with the caller. Number three, be aware of your speech, your vocabulary, and especially how fast you speak. Number four, and I know this sounds funny, but I mean it, watch your body language. I did this with my staff. I placed a mirror in front of them so that they could see the expressions that were on their own faces. Remember, a smile can be transmitted even through the telephone line. Number five, make time and clear your mind. Focus on the caller. Don't place them on hold too long. And remember that if you must call them back, it's quite possible that you might get a busy signal. Most families choose a funeral home within a short period of time. Number six, have a powerful opening statement. Please develop one using the guidelines presented in Module 1. Perfect it and practice it. Item number seven, involve the caller early on. It was my practice to ask the caller three questions before I gave out a price. And ask great questions. Be friendly. Show them that you care. And finally, number eight, have a powerful closing statement. Use the steps in the opening statement to form a closing statement. In other words, give the caller something to remember you with. Remember, your competition probably is not using a powerful opening or closing statement. He or she is likely an order taker. You are not. This will distinguish yourself and give them reason to select your firm. Review the sample opening and closing statements that were provided in session one. Now, if you haven't used my secret edge, I sure hope you do. Don't lose the next Price Shopper. Capture them. What are three reasons I should choose your firm? What is the reason you are the funeral home of choice because you are not the lowest price? Now, here's the other side of that coin. For certain, an employee can hurt you if they don't know what makes your company special. Do not delay in working with your staff with this material. So now let's look at where the Price Shopper is coming from. Finding the caller's hot buttons and developing benefit statements. I wish I had a dollar for every funeral director who told me the biggest objection he or she receives is price. Price is a complex objection that deals with customer subheadings like real need, affordability, hidden agendas, value, prospect perceptions, prospect misconceptions, untruths, skepticism, combined with your communication, validation, differentiation, and value proposition. I'm going to repeat that because I know some of you are making notes. Price is a complex objection that deals with customer subheadings like real need, affordability, hidden agendas, value, prospect perceptions, prospect misconceptions, untruths, skepticism, combined with your communication, validation, differentiation, and value proposition. Now, the good news about price shoppers, they are often client families in disguise. One major problem I find is that funeral directors, rangers, pre-need counselors, cemeterians, believe they or their company are the same or worse than their competition. Do you? Well, if not, communicate how you are different. You may want to write this next thing down. In short, there are really 7 things you can do to keep your price. 7 things you can do to keep your price. Number 1, support your price. In other words, hey, let me tell you why. Number 2, use the fact of higher price as a reason to buy, as a reason to choose you. Mr. Customer, you receive the highest level of personal care and attention before, during, and after. Number 3, whenever possible, use testimonials of others. We are the most recommended funeral home in the area, from the Chamber of Commerce to churches to the police department and others. The 4th way to keep your price is to sell your difference. You might say something like, our company is the only one that owns its own crematory. Or, we are the only funeral home that offers you a 100% service guarantee. The 5th way of maintaining your price, sell the caller on relationship. We have been in business now for over 90 years. We are long-term. We're not a one-shot company. We don't sell, we serve. We help educate our customers. We don't tell you, but we let you decide what is best. The 6th way of maintaining your price is to sell everything but price. If you're not the lowest, be the best value. Be the best at 1 or 2 key things. Be the friendliest. Be the best educators. Ask the best questions. Have the fastest legendary service. Be willing to go above and beyond the competition. And tell it to the caller. The 7th way to keep your price is to communicate how the caller may lose by choosing the lowest price when choosing a personal service like funeral cremation service. Let the caller know the consequences of not choosing you. Really, I mean that. If you give that highest level of personal service, if you have the absolute finest facility, if you have the absolute finest people, tell the caller. So let's look at our first slide here. You ask, how can I turn price shoppers into client families of mine? How can I gain more confidence when I'm on the phone? I struggle. I feel clumsy. I just don't know what to do. How can I really demonstrate to the caller that I truly represent the best value that is out there? Well, we'll move on to our next slide, which points out that when we uncover the hot buttons, when we are really able to talk about our benefit, we become big winners. It happens. Our next slide just briefly tells you about benefits and features. Oh, we are so good at giving out features. We have personal service. We offer 24-hour availability. We never close. We are here for you. Reverence and dignity, that's what we are about. These cause the customer, the caller, to yawn. Leave this up to your competitor. Instead, I want to teach you how to formulate and communicate your benefits, because it is with benefits that cause buying. It is with benefits that cause a family to choose you. It is with benefits that help you change lives for the better. And some of those lives include your lives, because you'll be doing more business. Now, we will be discussing benefits and features in much more detail later on in this module. My next slide just reinforces Mike's secret edge. Three reasons I should choose your funeral home, and or the reason you are the funeral home of choice, because you are not the lowest price. Your call volume will soar when you have answered these questions. Let me explain these important points this way. I want you to take a sheet of paper and write down the question: what customers really want. Now, under that, I want you to write out your list of what you believe your customers really want. You already know what the customer really wants, but I need you and your staff to write them down. Now, it would include such things as hassle-free. In other words, we're easy to do business with. Information. Customers want kindness. They want to do business with people who are empathetic. They want to do business with personal service professionals who are understanding, who make themselves available, who exhibit a friendliness that no one else does. They also look for courtesy. A customer looks for someone to listen to them, someone who does not try to sell them something. They look for someone to do business with who is honest, who has a high level of integrity, a pleasant nature, a positive attitude, offers quick service, cleanliness in their facilities, security, privacy, help, and much more. Now, if you develop three or four of these, or three or four from your own list, and give them a little bit more thought, and communicated just three or four of these to the caller, how significant is price now? How would this be if you had an advertisement like this for your funeral home, and this was in the newspaper? Our prices are guaranteed to be $100 more than anybody else's price, but our service, integrity, friendliness, and helpfulness are guaranteed to be 100% better than anybody else's service. And underneath this ad, I would put the photographs of three former customers and let them tell why they paid more and about the phenomenal service that they received. You'd get the calls and the business. This is what I mean by Mike's secret edge. You see, I did this in Burbank, California. In fact, I had to do it just to survive. And I'm going to tell you that it works. With everyone, of course not. But with a lot of callers, turn things around. Be a little bit different. Our next slide is a quick review to a big degree of some of the assumptions that we talked about earlier in Module 1. Many callers first ask, how much is a funeral? How much is a cremation? For a tremendous number of reasons. I'm a firm believer that most of them don't know enough to ask anything else. So the first thing out of their mouth is how much. I think if you look at your own buying patterns, that when you go to buy something that you know very little about, something that you may be afraid of that is going to cost you a lot of money, one of the first questions that you're going to ask is, tell me, before we go any further, how much? The second point is, I know you know this, that our callers can be overwhelmed and confused. My gosh, they may have just sat at the hospital for the last 6 days with their mother, with their father. They may have just flown halfway around the world to come in and take care of these arrangements. They might have been on a cruise to Hawaii or to the Caribbean, and they arrive totally confused and overwhelmed. The next item is they may be afraid and not know what they can afford. I mean, how much is a funeral? How much is a cremation? Oh, I hear all of these stories. I hear all of these reports on radio and television. My gosh, I can't afford to spend $15,000 on a funeral. Oh, I know that they're going to try to take advantage of me. These are things that go through a caller's mind. The next item says it all. They may be skeptical of anyone who works in a funeral home. They don't know you. Maybe the only thing they know is what they've heard about at Noble, Georgia, or at the Menorah Gardens Cemetery in Florida, or some of the worst disasters occurring with pre-need funds and so on and so forth. The next item is they probably do not understand what your motives are. Oh, I know he's going to try to sell me something. He's going to try to get a lot of money out of me. They also ask how much because they may only want the quickest and cheapest disposition of the body. They may say, look, I just want this direct burial. Dad already owns a grave over at this cemetery, and put him in the least expensive casket, and let's just, you know, put him in the ground as soon as we can with as little expense as possible. But they may also want a grand, elaborate farewell. And they may think that you only do funerals, and they don't want one. The next item, they probably don't know you. And if they don't know you, they're going to have a difficult time trusting you. How can you trust someone that you do not know? And then the last item, they don't know what they don't know. They don't know about protocol. They don't know about legal requirements. They don't know what you have to go through. They don't even know that you are the one who goes to the hospital and brings Dad to your funeral home. They may think the hospital delivers their father to the funeral home. They know nothing about timeliness. They don't know that you have a 24 or 48-hour waiting period. They may not know about the fact that it's important to come in and verify the identity of the deceased person, especially before cremation. They don't know what you can do to help them and many other things. Think of this. They may only want the cheapest and quickest method of disposal. And maybe that's cremation in your market. But beyond this, may also want a grand farewell. I know some of my price shoppers were like this. Okay, it was a direct cremation, but they spent $5,000, $7,000, maybe $10,000 on a grand farewell. Smart funeral directors do not confuse the two. The cheapest form of disposal and a farewell ceremony. Handle these separately. I would say something like, now that I've provided you with the best price for disposition, I need to ask you, in what way can I help you? In what way are you planning to say goodbye? Because, Mr. Jones, this is really what we do better than anyone else. And I mean from a simple coffee and cake social gathering to a one-of-a-kind life celebration that showcases your father's favorite foods, maybe his accomplishments, or even showing his favorite movie on our gigantic theater-sized screen, complete with buttered popcorn. We do it all. So tell me, Mr. Jones, how open to suggestion are you? The caller may not know you or how you do things. They may not want a funeral. And I hope that you can do more than just funerals. Have you ever asked a price caller why they are calling around? Often you are told, well, you know, we want to determine who can best serve us. Or even though they began the call with how much, they may say, well, because we're trying to get the best price. Try responding something like this. So after I explain my value, what are the qualities that you look for in choosing a funeral director? It's amazing how well these tactics work. And these are not hidden tactics. These are not maneuvers. You're not trying to trick anyone. You are being upfront and personal and honest with all of your callers. They're going to sense this difference in you. Let's look at our next slide. Establish caller rapport first and find a common ground. I really mean it when I say the best way to win the call is to first win the caller. Yeah, you've got to win the caller. Do you think your competition knows this? I don't think so. But think about what the next slide says. It's worth a shot to find something besides price quoting to start building a relationship. I know that if I spoke with each and every one of you, you're going to tell me, you're going to agree with me, that funeral service is a relationship type of personal service, and I agree with you. Believe me, and no matter what your prices might be, the finest GPL cannot replace you. It's worth a shot to find something other than price quoting to start building your relationship. All in all, if you can establish common ground with your caller, they will like you. They're going to see you differently than other funeral homes. They're going to begin to trust you, and they probably will buy from you. People are more likely to buy from a friendly person than they will from a sales person. Let the competitor do the sales part of it. My next slide offers my recommendation. This is something that I worked on with my staff, something I had to teach myself and my staff, that before you give out prices, endeavor to ask the caller three questions. You won't believe what happens when you do things like this. It is amazing what takes place on the telephone. The next slide is going to give you some suggestions. Here's a few rapport-building questions. And I know that you can all develop your own, in your own style, in your own manner. Obviously, we need to know who died. Well, we need to know if this is an at-need call or is this a pre-need call, too? Where did the death occur? Tell me, what happened? I would like to know. How did you come to call my firm? You may be surprised to find out that it's a referral coming from that new minister in town. These are things that you need to ask your callers. You said you're calling around. Tell me, how's this going for you so far? Really? Ask these kinds of questions. See, if you continue handling things the way that you have always handled them, then you will more than likely continue to get the same results. So what I'm endeavoring to teach you here is a new way of operating. Do things differently. Don't hesitate in asking the caller. You know what? If you could start calling all over again, what questions would you ask? Now, I've done that. Gee whiz, you know what? That's great. Everyone has answered all of these price things for me, but no one has told me about, and now you put yourself in a position to really help this caller because no one ever asked them this question. How familiar are you with our funeral home? And you said you've been calling around. How many funeral homes have you called? 5. Okay, so I'm the 6th funeral home. Yes. Well, from what you're learning so far, what do you like? I'm serious. Try asking these questions. Try having a conversation with the caller. Don't be a robot. Don't be cookie cutter. Don't be an order taker. Be friendly. Be a human being. Have a conversation. Our next slide says it because it's worth repeating. The best way to win the call is to first win the caller. Now, my next slide, we talk about the need to establish rapport before you begin your pitch or even giving your prices. Oh, I know this is not easy to do, and this is what this course is all about. But when you begin incorporating some of these questions into your price calling conversation, you will be amazed at how it will move away from strictly a focus on price. You will surprise yourself with what you are learning about the caller and what their true needs are. So before you begin giving them your pitch and telling them just how wonderful you are, go for rapport. Win the caller. You'll find that when you ask the right questions, it sometimes is tough to shut the caller up. And I want to tell you to be sincere on the telephone. It's easy to spot an insincere person. I encourage you to work on, create, develop your own style in doing this. We're all individuals. We all do things a little differently, but be real. Be yourself. And remember that the more rapport, the more calls you will get. One question that came in earlier is how do you deal with a price shopper that does not permit you to establish any type of rapport? I mean, come on, he's that tough guy. He's strictly at an arm's distance, and he only wants the lowest price, period. How do you go about dealing with him? Maybe he's even rude. Maybe he's even rushing you along. Well, I've been there. I've experienced many of these callers myself. I've tried my powerful opening. I've used one or two great questions. I've maybe asked about his prior experience in dealing with funeral homes or cremation or whatever. And he says, hey, look, just give me your price or I'm going to hang up. Well, this is a no-brainer. Your only option is to give this caller your lowest price possible and then hope for the best. Now, if you're not the lowest price and you want all the calls, and you're the kind of funeral homeowner or arranger or funeral director that believes that lowest price is the most important factor in choosing a funeral home, then I ask you, how come you are not the lowest priced funeral home already? So here's my advice. If you want to be the low priced funeral home, establish your price at such a low cost that the caller won't even dream of calling another funeral home for comparison. Go for it. You don't need me. You don't need anyone else to help you. But that's not why you registered for this course. Now, to continue with this tough person, and after I've given this person my lowest price, and he responds, hey, I'll let you know, or thank you, I'll call you back, I'm going to take one more shot. One more shot. And I'm going to ask, would you like to hear why we are the funeral home of choice and do not have the lowest price? Or I might ask them, do you know about our 100% service guarantee? Now, if these tactics fail, at least I know I've done my best. Hey, I've taken all three swings at the plate, and I'm likely better off not having this person as a customer. His business is probably a one-shot deal at best, and he probably won't become a loyal customer. Don't assume that lowest price is smart pricing. In areas where the Neptune Society competes, they have gone from the lowest of low-price companies to where they are no longer the low-price alternative. Maybe your price, which makes you look like a good value, actually makes you look and act second rate. So this takes us to the next slide. There are billions of customer types. If you want to get 50, 60, 70% of your callers to choose your funeral home, I've laid it out for you here. You can do it in 9 words. There it is. Listen. Acknowledge. Question. Listen some more. Be friendly. Practice. 9 words. That's how you will get the business. No other form of trickery, no other form of manipulation, none of that works with customers, with callers today, with client families today. Our next slide talks about 10 ways to make the caller confident enough to choose you as their funeral director. Walt Disney said it, prospects won't buy if they lack confidence. And, of course, Walt Disney knew that when he was struggling and putting his Disney studios together, marketing a caricature mouse. Think about that. And then, of course, his world-famous park, Disneyland. So what are the 10 ways? Let's look at them individually. So go to number one. Be prepared for the call. You know that sooner or later a price shopper is going to give you a call. So you have to be prepared in advance of that call. Have a powerful opening statement for practically every situation if need be, whether it's a burial, a cremation, a shipment, whatever it might be. Have it ready. Write out 2 or 3 rapport-building questions and have them ready to ask. Now, this one is a personal one. You have to know your stuff. By that, I'm saying know what it is you do. Are you just a director of funerals? Or are you much more than that? See, I believe that being a funeral director today is not good enough for most of us. And it's changing considerably across the country. So you have to know what it is you do. And if you go back to Module 1, we talked about that a little bit. See, I believe that really what we do is help people say goodbye. And then you need to believe in yourself. I had to believe that my service was the best service. I truly believe that when a funeral home, when a client family did not choose my funeral home, that they were losing. They were not getting the best value. They were not getting the best people. They were not getting the best advice. They were not getting the best of anything. I truly believed that. And then, in being prepared, I want you to be prepared with a powerful closing statement so that the caller will remember you. Give them a reason once they hang up the phone to say, wow, and to put a little star by your name, because there's five other funeral homes they've called, but they're going to remember you for that closing statement that you gave them. The next slide is step number 2. Involve the caller early on. Have those 3 questions. Ask the caller 3 questions about themselves or their situation before just blurting out a price. Anybody can do that. Be a little different. Oh, I'm very pleased to share this information with you while I'm gathering my information. Tell me, how did you come to call us? Oh, okay, you're going through the phone book. Oh, I see. And we're the 5th funeral home that you're calling. Oh, okay. Well, listen, how's all of this going for you? Calling around, doing what you're doing. How's all of this going for you? Think about establishing a conversation that way. Not being that order taker. The next slide, number 3. It says, tell a story. People love to hear stories. Some of the most successful people in the world, whether they are a professional speaker, whether they are a trainer, whether they are a car salesman, whether they are a physician, no matter who you might think of, loves to tell stories because callers especially enjoy hearing stories. Like Mrs. Jones, you know, this particular caller did not know that we own our own crematory and how important this fact is. May I explain it to you? Or this particular caller had no idea that we do much more than just funerals. They wanted something that wasn't going to be sad. That they wanted something that was really going to be about the person who died, because he was a jovial sort of person. And maybe this is your situation. Or, Mrs. Jones, this particular caller did not know that we expertly can handle these long-distance shipment arrangements, and we can even go so far as to make all of the travel arrangements for your family or other members, no matter where they might be coming from or going. We can even see to it in many times that you can be on the same plane with your husband. See, families don't know this. You don't know how they are perceiving you. Mrs. Jones, this particular person did not know that we have a very unique reception room here. In fact, it has a complete kitchen facility because so many people have potlucks or other family members will want to bring their favorite dish, or they maybe want to cook something in particular. And we've got this full kitchen facility, and this makes a gathering of your close friends and your family not only cost-effective, but more social and convenient for all of you. You won't have to be driving around and wasting all that kind of time. Take the shot. Try to form a relationship some other way. The next slide is using a referral source if possible. That's step number four. Using a referral source if possible. If you are recommended by the local churches, let people know that. If you happen to be the only one that really has certified crematory specialists, operators, so on and so forth on your staff, let people know. Hey, if you belong to the National Funeral Directors Association, the Cremation Association of North America, ICCFA, hey, you're already paying your dues. Why don't you tell people that? If you are a member of the Order of the Golden Rule, let people know what that stands for and what you are committed to. If you are the firm that is recommended by the Chamber of Commerce and you have a great relationship with local hospitals and you're on their foundation board, you're on their board of continuing education, you sit on the hospice board, whatever the case might be, utilize that. Pound your own drum. Don't be afraid. Item number five, step number five. When you're talking with people, don't bombard or interrogate them. Listen. Learn how to listen. Don't hit them with too many facts, because now they could be overwhelmed. Maybe pick out one or two things and go for those one or two things. And as you talk, let the confidence build naturally. And don't sell them. Ask caller-focused questions that require them to give you more than a yes or no answer. And while they're talking, don't interrupt them and focus on them. Step number six, emphasize certain things like your availability. Okay, so you've got that in your ad already, in the phone book, in the yellow pages. Available 24 hours a day. What does that mean? Yeah, you're not going to like to hear this. Give them your cell phone number. Give them your home telephone number. The competitor's not doing that. Give it to them. Your name is and phone number is probably listed in the phone book anyway. Emphasize things like your continuous service after the service. So many of you have wonderful bereavement support programs of a different nature, offering many different things. Let them know about that. Your networking with other professionals in your area. Mrs. Jones, you may need all kinds of help weeks or months from now, and we are here to assist you because we are involved in the community with a network of professionals that range from a home repairman to a banker that can help you with your accounting, or if you need a bookkeeper, we can help you with those kinds of things. And the reason that I'm telling you that, you're going to emphasize that we're into a long-term relationship, not just a one-time shot, that I truly want to be your family funeral director. It's amazing the response you begin hearing when you go through and have a routine like this with a price shopper. Not all the time does it work, but quite often it works. Step number seven says that if you want to sell them, then go ahead, sell them. But, you know, sell to help, sell to educate. My gosh, sell yourself. Sell to build a rapport and a relationship. Forget about selling all those other things. Forget about selling graveside services. Forget about selling memorial services. Forget about selling embalming. Forget about selling refrigeration storage. Forget about all of those things and concentrate on right here. selling yourself. Our next slide is step number 8. Ask the right questions. When you ask the right questions, it is amazing how so many times you get the right answers. Do what I did. I don't expect you to be as well-versed and competent in doing all of this tomorrow morning. Of course not. This entire 3-course study is going to require just that. Study. Yes, you're going to have to work on this. In the short term, have a list of power questions next to your telephones. Have it prepared in advance. Practice asking them. If you're going to be listening to this information on your way home, shut it off right now and say out loud 3 or 4 questions, power questions, questions that require more than a yes or no answer. Step number 9, pound your own drum. If you've got this experience and you are super qualified and you've got this CFSP and everything else after your name, does no good unless they know what it is. Well, I'm a certified funeral service practitioner. Well, got to tell me what that means. Now, obviously, if you had MD after your name, you don't have to say too much because people know that. But they don't know what LFD means. I get people's funeral director's cards from all over the world after their name is LFD. I had to call one guy and say, what is an LFD? He says, oh, that's a licensed funeral director. Oh, gee. Well, if I don't know it, how can you expect your neighbor down the street who's never been into your funeral home to know what that means? Communicate your desire to help. If you provide an exclusive service for Heavens to Betsy, let them know. If you have this unique concierge service, let them know what that concierge service is all about. Don't be afraid to say we help more people than anyone, and that's why we are the most recommended funeral home. Pound your drum. And the last item is step number 10. How do I go about building confidence in my caller? I'm going to tell you that being the least expensive won't get you anywhere if the caller has no confidence in you or no reason to choose you. Simply give them reasons to choose you. Don't sit back and not give them the reasons. Give me the reasons. Well, Mike, this all sounds well and good. How do I know when the person I'm talking to, you know, if I'm going down the right route here, how do I know if they're really interested? So our next slide talks about signals to let you know that the caller is probably interested. They begin asking you, like, how soon can we do this? When could you arrive to the home? How soon do you think we could have the cremation performed? They're going to ask you things about, now, do I have to pay for everything all at once? So you have to be prepared now. I don't know what your business operations are like or what your policies are, but you have to know all of these things. Remember I said earlier, you've got to know your stuff. They're going to maybe ask you questions about you and your firm. Well, tell me, gosh, you've been in business now for over 100 years. Isn't the city 100 years old? Yes, gee whiz, we started right back then and there. That was my great-grandfather, and oh, my gosh, and we're still a family operation. They may talk to you about problems that they've had with previous funeral homes. I cannot begin to tell you. You know, my big competition in town was Forest Lawn Memorial Park. They serve 10,000 families a year. I cannot begin to tell you how many people on the telephone would say, you know, the last time that my grandfather died, we went to another funeral home, and we never had anyone take care of us like this. And I'd say, well, where did you go with your last time? Oh, we went to Forest Lawn. Well, I knew that. But now, by them asking these questions, I knew that I was building a trusting relationship with these people. They may ask you questions about specific service-related questions. You know, my father weighs 350 pounds, and all of his best friends are very elderly. What do we do for pallbearers? Can you get them? Or, you know, you're bringing up a good point that we didn't think of, Mr. Kubisak. Dad used to live in Chicago, and then he lived in Tampa, and for a while he lived in Honolulu. He's got friends all over. Can we get newspaper notices out in all of those newspapers? Can you help us do that? You know that you're hitting a nerve. You're getting there. You're going to start hearing things from the caller. Gee, I didn't know that. Wow, I like that. Gee, is that something? How, is something like that very expensive? Now you know you're on target. You're going to hear questions where they actually seek your advice. I mean, really, what should we do? Can you help me? I'm really confused. I've called all these places now, and I'm really kind of confused. Or they're going to ask you about some of the features or options. You know, you mentioned that 100% service guarantee. What is that? And I know that this is a question that some of you have. And how did we explain our 100% service guarantee? Because it might be different for you. And it very simply was, Mrs. Jones, if you are unhappy or not satisfied with any one particular element of our service, then you will not be charged for that particular item. If you are not happy with the limousine, it was dirty, the driver had a bad odor, whatever the case might be, and you tell me that I was very disappointed in the limousine, we are not going to charge you for that limousine. I can count on one hand the number of families that ever took me up on that. But I cannot count. It would be impossible for me to tell you how many families were influenced by me offering that 100% service guarantee. So if you have certain things that you are doing, and you let the family know, this can open up areas of interest to them. So let's go to our next slide, because I know you all want this. You want the secret weapon. Here's the secret weapon in dealing with price shoppers. How many of you are going to be able to really grasp this? I think you all will. We're going to be talking about benefit statements. How benefit statements help you stand out from everyone else. How a benefit statement makes you memorable. How a benefit statement identifies you as being unique. And I know that you're saying, yeah, but Mike, you know what? Callers always ask one basic question. And I know that you think it's how much, but I'm going to tell you what I really think they want to know is what makes you so different that I should do business with you. I really believe that. You know, each of us has justification as to why we lose a price shopper whenever it happens. Many times we own or we work for a funeral home that chooses to be higher priced in the marketplace. For instance, this was my choice, and it was also the choice of my entire staff because I did not make that decision alone. I involved my staff. I ask them, where do we want to go? How much money do you want to be making 2 years from now, 5 years from now? So we're going to have to do things a little bit differently. As a result, I had to ensure that I had the best trained, the best informed staff of any funeral home competitor in my market area. I wanted to be like Ritz-Carlton. I wanted to copy Hyatt. I wanted to be just like Disneyland. I wanted to be like Southwest Airlines and others that we know of who are top shelf. You know, it's the people in these organizations and your organization that makes them top shelf, not just their high prices or their fluffy beds. You may own or work for a company that has chosen to bring more to the table than the competition does, to add more value. Well, that was my objective. We simply cannot charge more or hope to make more. We must do things to earn that additional margin and therefore fatten our wallets. Too many times the additional service offered is lip service. Listen, it's rarely only a price issue. For families that are destitute, I know you will serve them always with respect and dignity, and many times you'll service them free of charge. We are not talking about these people, however. Oftentimes your service, your words, and your deliverables are so much like your competition, at least in the mind of the caller, and that's all that really counts, that the only real thing a caller has to rely on is what is different. Don't just let it be the competition's low price. I want to help you stand out. I want to help you be memorable. I want to help you to be unique. Because if you do not stand out in the caller's mind, you have to stand out in their wallet. Is this what you want? Be honest with yourself. If you choose to not be the lowest price, if your quality is the same or similar as your competition, then you've got to kick butt in some other way. That's all there is to it. If you choose to not be the lowest priced funeral home, if your quality is the same or similar to the competitor down the street, then you're just going to have to kick butt in some other way. You really don't have any other choice. Callers ask that one question. I know you think it's how much, but they really want to know what makes you so different. So our next slide looks at what is it that callers look at. Well, I've tried to put this down for you so that you really have a good understanding. I believe these are the main critical areas. They look at price. Well, is it, you know, some want the lowest, some want the finest, some want the most quality. They look at the type or level of service. Again, let me ask you, are you the Motel 8 style funeral home in your community, or are you the Marriott? What is your level? They look at the personnel. How friendly are they? How engaging are they? How cordial are they? How empathetic are they? And as we go through these things, I want you to think about yourself and your staff. Callers look at convenience. Where are you located? How easy is it to get to you? How soon can we do things? Are you able to delay things because my brother is flying in from the Himalayas and it won't be for another week? I mean, you never know. How easy can you make it for me? Callers also look at location. Where are you located? What part of town? What's going on over there? Where are you located in the state? Are you nearby the cemetery? Do you have easy access to the church? Whatever the case might be. The competitor down the street has to drive Dad 120 miles to the crematory, and you have a crematory right there on your own premise? Callers look at who communicates the difference. Callers also look at what exclusive services are you making available. So I'm going to ask you again, which do your callers value the most? How do you differ from your competitor? So the first step is define what doing business with you offers. And that takes us right to our next slide. And that is your goal. I can't stress this enough. Tell them the reasons to do business with you and give them much more than features. You know, a common oversight that I have learned in visiting thousands of funeral homes and talking with many people who answer telephones at funeral homes is that they have never received the proper training. They throw out information without tying any of that information to the essential needs of the caller. They do what I call is a feature dump. They talk about all the great things without enabling the caller to see what all the great things mean to them. Oh, we might use different words in the competition, but to the caller, it sounds the same. This takes us to the next slide. Because ultimately, the caller wants to know what I call is the WIFM. Yeah. Hey, Mr. Funeral Director, what's in it for me? What's in it for me? It's your duty. The people who answer your phone, it's their duty to make it abundantly clear to the caller. See, the WIFM, the what's in it for me, spells out a benefit. It is a benefit statement for the caller. So let's go to the next slide. We talk about our benefit statements. This is the most effective way to get the what's in it for me across to the caller. Being the best funeral director, being the best embalmer, saying out loud and in print that you really care and that you give the best personal service sounds great, but it means little, if anything, to most callers. In fact, I will go so far as to say it's useless until you know how your service or product will benefit the caller. In fact, I'll bet right now, if you looked in your Yellow Pages and compared ads with your competitors, your ads and their ad would be quite similar in nature. So I challenge you to tell me what the world's finest personal service that you provide, what it actually means to the caller on a case-by-case, day-by-day, and real-world basis. You must be able to spell it out in concrete, specific, measurable ways that is incredible. No, scratch that. That is incredible. I want you to be incredible in giving your benefit statement and what it means to the customer, to the caller. We always say, hey, we own our own crematory. Well, great. And what this means to you is, so every time you give a feature, you've got to follow it up with the WIFM. Oh, we have an on-premise reception center. And what this means to you is, this casket is made of 32-ounce solid bronze. And what this means to you is, we personally monitor each cremation that we perform. And what this means to you is, This urn is called a companion type urn. And what this means to you is, go to our next slide, a feature. We're great at feature dumping. We dump a lot of features on callers. It's something about your service. It's a characteristic. Oh, we have a new reception center. Oh, we have the most comfortable lobby in the county. Oh, we have the newest, most up-to-date automotive fleet available anywhere. Feature, feature, feature. A benefit gives that positive value. It tells them what it will do for them or what it means to them. And that's where the difference is. I've tried to list on the next slide some of the common features at funeral homes. Maybe you don't have all of these, and maybe you have a lot more than these. These are very customary features. Video and recording services. A spacious chapel. Oh, we have a post-funeral follow-up. Yeah, what does that mean? Especially if I don't want a funeral. What does that mean? Wait a minute. Oh, we've got a children's room. Yeah, so? Help me understand that. What do you mean? I mean, I'm talking to a funeral home. What's in that children's room? What do you mean by a children's room? Ooh, what's taking place in that children's room? See, when you talk to me, another funeral director, about a children's room, I know what you're talking about. But a funeral home having a children's room? Think about it. What is the benefit? Oh, we have a new reception facility. Oh, but you know what? Even though we don't have our own crematory, and we do use this crematory that is 75 miles away, Mrs. Jones, I want to assure you that when you hire my firm to serve you at this most difficult, most personal time, we provide a level of personal service that is unmatched by anyone in the state. That when I or one of my personnel drives your husband to the crematory, we stay there during the entire time of the cremation to ensure that everything is not only properly done and done in a timely manner, but that when we present your husband's cremated remains to you, they are beyond a doubt your husband's cremated remains. And we provide you with a 100% personal guarantee. Oh, God. Neptune used to hate me. They hated me. Oh, I didn't want to put them out of business. There was no way I wanted to put them out of business. I just wanted to get 25 or 30 calls from them. And we did that with ease. So can you. So our next slide explores what a benefit statement will do for you. Tells the caller why something matters. Yeah, tell me. Why does it matter about that bereavement program? What is that? Hey, I'm going to be okay. They don't know what can go wrong. They don't know about your 24-hour availability. Hey, when was the last time you tried calling your physician at 2 o'clock in the morning on Saturday night? And what did you get? What kind of response? Well, guess what? When you call my place, you're going to get me. Okay, you may have an answering service who's going to immediately put you in touch. That's how we do things here. We're going to emphasize the real value of your service or a product. This is what a benefit statement will do. It's going to cause that caller to see you totally different. It's going to change the perception of the caller. You are going to blow them away. You will blow them away, and your competition is going to wonder about 6 months down the road, when all of a sudden they're not getting the business that they were getting, they're going to say, what is going on? And by then, we'll probably triple the price of this course. I'm just teasing. The benefit statement will position you as experts and people of value, not as salespeople. And if there are any pre-need counselors listening in, the benefits to you are huge, immeasurable. A benefit statement will make your message memorable. They're going to help. It's going to help them remember you. So go to our next slide. And it talks about some features. And I've tried to outline this for you, and I've taken a combination of some other things so that you can really work on putting benefit statements together. In fact, it's kind of great to have more than one person at your funeral home, your cemetery, your crematory, your pre-need department, whatever. Work on this together. Maybe over the weekend, everyone goes home with a specific feature about their service or product. And on Monday morning, you get together over coffee and you share the benefit statements, or you work on polishing up the benefit statements, or you together develop benefit statements that all of you can use. You know, if you were just coming out with toothpaste that had a stain-removing formula, what this means to you is that you will have a brighter smile, whiter teeth. This automobile has anti-lock brakes. Now, I know most cars today have anti-lock brakes. What does this mean to you? This means safety and better stopping power, whether you're on a slick highway, whether you're on dry pavement, whether you're going 60 miles an hour or 30 miles an hour. This whole life insurance policy is important for you to have. And what that means to you, Mrs. Jones, is that it will provide the financial protection for you and your children in the future should the worst happen to your husband. Here at our funeral home, we are available 24 hours a day. What does that really mean? Every funeral home is going to tell them that. But hardly any funeral home is going to say, Mrs. Jones, when you hire us, you get the entire company. You get the entire staff who is here for you. If you were to call me at an off hour, after closing hours, at 2 o'clock in the morning on Christmas Day, our telephones are going to be answered by a live person. And we know that what this ultimately means to you is peace of mind. We are not ever going to leave you hanging in midair. Mrs. Jones, we personally monitor each cremation, and what this means to you is, it is our pledge that the cremation is done with dignity, that even though we are using a crematory in the next county, we are your eyes and your ears. That's why you are hiring us. And if you go on to the next slide, we continue on, that we own and operate our own crematory. And what this means to you, Mrs. Jones, is that the deceased person, your husband, is never going to leave our custody, that there will be no strangers involved in such a personal service as the cremation, that in fact, we can even do the cremation at your convenience. You were telling me that the grandchildren are currently on vacation. Did you know that we could wait to do that cremation until your grandchildren are present? That there's no transportation required. We don't have to drive your husband 120 miles down the road. Then, Mrs. Jones, we offer a very unique service. It's part of what we call is our concierge service. And one of the concierge services that we offer is house sitting. And what this means to you is that we give you that peace of mind for home safety, that while you are here at the funeral home for the visitation, you're at church for the funeral ceremony, while you're at the graveside, our personnel, one of our personnel, will be at your home preparing the house for the guests who will be coming back. We're going to take the butter out of the refrigerator so it's not as hard as a rock. We're going to make sure that the coffee is percolating when they arrive. We're going to make sure that the ice in the ice bucket hasn't all melted and is now all water. And we're going to make sure that no one will enter the home while you folks are away doing the funeral. Mrs. Jones, we also offer our 100% service guarantee. And what this means to you is that if you are unhappy with a particular element, there will be no charge for that particular service. And this is something that no one else offers. Go to the next slide, please. I believe that this is a very important exercise for you to do, whether it's you and your wife who are operating the funeral home, or whether you have multiple locations. Involve your people. Create a list of as many features about your funeral home. Put them down. Big, small, unimportant, put them down. And then go back and for each feature, present a clear, specific, incredible benefit that makes it worth buying. Share the features and benefits with the entire staff. Practice it. I used to require all of my staff, we would sit in our chapel area because we had our list of features, we had our list of benefits. We would all sit in the chapel. There would be about 10 or 12 of us, and every one of us had to get up and read three feature and benefit statements off of our list. And, you know, like they do in the Olympics where they hold up a card that says you got a 9 or you got a 10 or you got a 4 or whatever, we did that. See, we made it a fun, that kind of exercise, and we graded that person on their sincerity, our perception of their sincerity. And if you got up and we didn't think you were sincere, that you didn't believe it, got to believe it. Got to believe in yourself. If you didn't believe it, you maybe got a 6. Well, you didn't get too many 6s working for me. You only maybe had a chance to get 1 or 2 of them. Because if you didn't turn your 6s into 9s and 10s, then I would help you get a job at the Neptune Society. Share the features and the benefits. Practice them. Make it a fun exercise with your staff. So, all well and good, but what are some of the guidelines? I want to share with you some guidelines in developing these benefit statements. These are important to keep in mind. All of your benefit statements must be 100% true. Must be 100% true. A benefit statement means that you must know what you do, what your business is, inside and out. And if you don't, you have time to go and find out and learn. When you're putting a benefit statement together, pretend that this is a brand new service that no one has ever heard of. And the next step is evaluate the potential of the caller seeing the benefit without the feature being pointed out to them. For instance, and we have a children's room. Here's a good example. Whoa, that's kind of scary at a funeral home. What do you mean, a children's room? In developing a benefit statement, investigate. So you're kind of stuck with something. You really can't figure out a benefit of 2 or 3 things. You're too lazy or too cheap to give Mike Kubasak a call, whatever the case might be. You don't want to email me. Then go and visit with a friend, your buddy in Kiwanis, a fellow Lion, your golfing partner. Say, Harvey, let me ask you something. I need you to help me here. Here is a feature of what we do at our funeral home. Can you tell me how you might use this, or how you might see this of being benefit to you and your family? That's how you get other opinions. So in developing a benefit statement, you have to ask yourself, does the feature represent true value? Not all features might. In developing a benefit statement, the more benefits you can provide, now listen, the less important price becomes. The more benefits, the less important price becomes. Promote the benefits and be the first in your marketplace to do so. You will stand out. You will stand out. Go to our next slide. Benefits. Benefits cause buying. Benefits are what cause a caller to choose you. Features, leave that up to your competitor. Features put the caller to sleep. Features don't do much. They don't push much in the caller's mind. Our next slide takes us to finding those hot buttons of our callers, of our customers. Why is this critical? Because once we determine what is of real interest to the caller, so many times it is much more than just the lowest price. When you find out what some of those hot buttons are, you will be in a perfect position to take advantage of knowing that and then being able to supply that to the caller. So these are some questions that you might want to use that could help you determine the customer's hot buttons, the caller. You know, you've told me that you've called other funeral homes. Where are you in the decision-making process? Oh, Mr. Kubasak, let me be honest with you. I am so confused. I am getting prices from all over the place. Well, Mrs. Jones, let me assure you that when you do business with us, we make it simple for you. One of the things that I hear you saying is that you are, that it's kind of frustrating doing what you're doing, and I have to tell you that when you go to choose a personal service such as this, that I want to urge you not to only utilize price as the determining factor in choosing one. In fact, Mrs. Jones, we're glad to make things very affordable for you. You've been calling around other funeral homes. What are some of the attributes that you're looking for in choosing a funeral home? Push that button. You told me that I'm more expensive than others. May I suggest that before making a final choice, you call the other funeral homes again and ask them why their price is so low? Now, I used to do this. I'm going to tell you a story. Up until maybe about 5 years ago, Forest Lawn advertised very boldly. In fact, they advertised on billboard signs on the highway that their embalming charge was $39.50. You think I'm kidding you? Trust me, I'm not kidding you. Now, at the time, my embalming fee was like $275, $300. Whoa! Why are you charging so much? And I would tell them about our embalming procedure and that embalming is much more than just arterially injecting the body, about our bathing and about our disinfecting and about the cleanliness factor and shampooing the hair and trimming the mustache and removing the hair from Dad's ears and his nostrils and cutting his nails, a manicure, and putting polish on my, oh, gee whiz, wait, wow. Say, now, Mrs. Jones, before you make a final decision, why don't you call Forest Lawn back and ask them why they charge only $39? Put yourself in the shoes of Forest Lawn. What how would you possibly answer that question? Oh, well, that's because we serve so many people. See, and I would prepare them. They're going to say things like, because I know, I called. I used to secret shopper for a salon. I knew what they were doing. I knew what they were saying. Well, we serve so many people that we can't have these low prices. So in other words, Mrs. Jones, you're going to be just a number. No personal service like I'm talking about. And by the way, my name is Mike Kubisak. I happen to be the owner. Or my manager would say, my name is Phil. I happen to be the owner. Or my secretary would say, my name is Kathy. I happen to be the person in charge of the business office, or whatever the case might be. We gave a little bit of authority to that, the personal service. And if you call me at 2 o'clock this morning, if you call my office at 2 o'clock this morning, and you want to talk to Kathy again, we will arrange for you to talk to Kathy right away. How do we find the customer's hot buttons? Tell me, what are some of the difficulties you're dealing with right now? Oh, you're trying to get your brother-in-law in from New York, and you don't have anyone to meet him at the airport because he's arriving in a half hour. We can meet him at the airport. We can take care of your father at the hospital. I can send a car and driver to the airport to meet your brother. All that I need is his name and his cell phone number. So you never know what you're going to hear. Besides price, Mrs. Jones, what is your biggest concern at this time? Oh, gee, how am I going to tell the grandkids that grandpa died? You never know what you're going to hear. Do you know how important it is, Mrs. Jones, to have the cremation performed by us because we personally monitor each cremation? Who are all the decision makers, and are they all present? Well, I'm just calling for the family, and they're all in Phoenix. They're at the NASCAR race, so they asked me to give a call. So you got to know who you're talking to. What are some of your key objectives in choosing a funeral home? What are you most worried about that might go wrong? Before I give you just a price, I want to tell you how our cremation service is different from all others. Before I give you a price, I want to tell you how our personal service is truly personal. Tell me, Mrs. Jones, you've been calling around to all these funeral homes and you're trying to determine who's providing the best value. Tell me, what would be ideal for you? Tell me, what would be ideal for you? Continuing on with finding the hot buttons, the next slide talks about what is your biggest concern at this time, Mrs. Jones, besides price? You may be surprised at what you hear. Oh, my goodness, my brother is arriving from New York in 45 minutes. I've got all of this to do, to take care of all these. I have no one to pick up my brother. He can't afford a cab. Mrs. Jones, we could take care of your husband at the hospital. I can send a car and a driver to the airport to pick up your brother. All I need is his name and his cell phone number, and we'll have him at your place safely and in a short time after he arrives. You never know what you're going to hear. Push these hot buttons. Mrs. Jones, do you know how important it is to have the cremation performed by us because we personally monitor each cremation? To us, cremation is too personal of an act to leave up to chance. We ensure the dignity, the respect, and the privacy of your husband through every step. We personally look after it. No strangers are involved. Who are all the decision makers, and are they all present? Oh, they're not. well, do you know that we can go to the hospital, we can bring your father here, we could take care of him, and we don't have to meet right away. We can wait until the other people are present. Would that be helpful to you? That's the level. That's only a part of the level of personal service that we provide. Going to the next slide, it talks about, Mrs. Jones, tell me, what are you most worried about that might go wrong? You're calling around to all of these funeral homes. You said that I'm the fifth funeral home that you are calling. What are you most worried about that might go wrong? Find out. They'll tell you what their hot button is. So before I give you just the price, Mrs. Jones, I want to tell you how our cremation service is different from everyone else. Before I just give you a price, I want to tell you how our personal service is truly personal. I want to tell you about the care that we provide to the deceased persons. And I know you've told me that you don't want embalming, but let me tell you about the respectful and professional care, what we do. So I want to urge you to develop, if you need to, your own customer hot button questions. Another one, if you want to write this down, what would be ideal for you? Mrs. Jones, you're calling around getting prices. Tell me, what would be ideal for you? You could say that to just about anyone. Under any circumstance. Oh, I don't know what to do. It's getting so hard to make a decision. You know, I don't know who I can trust. Mrs. Jones, what would be ideal for you? And listen, like I said, don't bombard, don't interrogate. You probably only need to ask one or two, maybe three of these questions throughout the entire conversation before you're going to find out what you're really after and where you can really be of help. So when you uncover the caller's hot buttons, you're not only going to differentiate yourself, but you're going to really find the caller's reasons for buying, and the rest will be easy. Now, our next slide is some closing remarks. Sell the benefits. Sell the benefits. Don't do a feature dump on your people. Tell them about the benefit of the feature. Now, I want to invite you folks to send your questions or comments to Rob, because I'm going to endeavor to answer all of your questions prior to session module 3. Now, in giving you a little preview of module 3, that is entitled Winning and How Questions Make the Difference. So we're going to look at what is called the consultative sales process, and this really has very little to do with selling, but it has a lot to do with serving. It has a lot to do with asking what I call our power questions, and how when you ask just one power question, you can really understand exactly what the caller is looking for. I'll also demonstrate to you how asking questions is your most persuasive and valuable tool. And I will literally teach you how to compose power questions and what are some of the key words that you should use when you begin putting a power question together. So again, I want to thank you for being with me and Rob. This is the conclusion of Module 2, Exploring, Finding the Caller's Hot Buttons and Providing Benefits.